This is Sea Change Radio, covering the shift to sustainability. I'm Alex Wise.
You know, this homeless guy I was speaking to in the last week, you know, was telling me, you know, you politicians think the tents are the problem. Tents are the solution. Tents, you know, give us a place to be where we're not going to get rained on and keep us out of the way and keep us safe. And I hear that. I think it's untenable to have large tent encampments in urbanized areas. I just don't think the housed people are going to tolerate that.
Futurists, environmentalists, and planners alike generally believe that humans living in more densely populated areas has benefits for the Earth. City living is just a much more efficient use of the planet's resources. But cities also expose a society's inequality. Some of the world's wealthiest cities are plagued by abundant homelessness and have deep pockets of persistent poverty. This week on Sea Change Radio, we speak to Raphael Mandelman, a local San Francisco politician who's seen homelessness up close. Mandelman tells his story of growing up with a mother who struggled with mental illness and homelessness, and how, despite the odds, he made his way through an Ivy League education and helped lift his mother out of her dire situation. Now an advocate for homeless rights, Mandelman walks us through the simultaneous explosion of homelessness and high-paying tech jobs in his hometown, sets forth some of his ideas for solving the crisis, and gives examples of cities that have been able to tackle this problem in an ethical, compassionate, and effective manner. I'm joined now on Sea Change Radio by Raphael Mandelman. Raphael is a trustee of City College. He is an attorney, and he's running for the Board of Supervisors District 8 in San Francisco. The election is June 5th, 2018. Raphael, welcome to Sea Change Radio.
Thank you for having me.
So I wanted to have you on not to talk about San Francisco politics, because it's a very tangled web, and most of the country doesn't want to even begin to follow the inner workings of it. But you're intimately familiar with the issue of homelessness, and it's a important issue all over the country. And why don't you first talk about your background and why you have a unique perspective on the homeless issue?
Yeah. I actually think more families have folks who have had experiences with mental illness and or homelessness than you would know. But when I was 11 years old, my mother, who probably had been struggling with mental health issues for much of her life, got significantly worse, and she was not able to take care of me after that point. And I ended up moving up to San Francisco and living with my grandmother initially, and then other families that sort of took me in and let me live with them in informal foster care. But my mother's life, you know, continued to sort of spiral out, and she actually ended up in a homeless shelter for a period when I was, I think, a freshman in college. And I remember being, you know, I was privileged to be in some really great academic institutions, and I was an undergrad at Yale at the time, and I was calling my mother from this ornate, amazing library where I was studying, and she was in a shelter. So when I was older, I got a conservatorship over her and eventually moved her up to San Francisco. But I do think that, you know, there are this is not the entire homeless problem, but there are a chunk of our homeless population who are folks who are just sick, and we leave them out on our streets. And I think particularly in California, we leave a lot of mentally ill and drug addicted folks out there who we should not be leaving out there.
Yes, and maybe you can give a brief history of the way San Francisco and its political class has tried to handle the issue. San Francisco wasn't one of the richest cities in the country in 1980, but maybe you can go back to that period during the Reagan era. And how did San Francisco tackle its growing homeless population? And then maybe kind of get us up to date if you can.
So different mayoral administrations have each struggled with this problem and had a different set of responses. And one of the frustrating things about homeless policy is that it can shift pretty dramatically depending on what the mayoral administration is. But Art Agnos was the first mayor who was really, I think called upon to deal with this problem. While he was mayor, I was in high school, but at the time, but basically our civic center was taken over by a giant homeless encampment. And this went on for months and months and months. And Agnos, as a good liberal, was reluctant to clear the place, but it was symptomatic of a growing problem that he got blamed for. And ultimately, he did clear Civic Center and started implementing a set of responses, but he was, blamed for problems that were not really of his creation, and he was voted out after one term, largely on people's frustration with the homelessness crisis. And then he was succeeded by Frank Jordan, who came in and had a different approach.
He was like the former police chief.
He was former police chief, and he had, at least rhetorically, his response was that we needed a more of a criminal justice response, or that, we needed to clear the streets and have police officers going out with social workers. He called it Matrix. So that was his policy for his one term as mayor.
And that was quite controversial.
And it was very controversial at the time. And then Willie Brown came in. And Willie Brown was, politically a very successful mayor, but certainly de-emphasized dealing with homelessness, at least as a matter of something he was going to talk about. We built out a significant programs for homeless folks while he was mayor. But I think he saw what had happened to Agnos and Jordan and was not going to make this, the centerpiece of what he was going to be talking about. And so San Franciscans, I think, became again increasingly frustrated with the crisis. And Gavin Newsom, who was on the Board of Supervisors during Brown's administration, kind of tapped into that frustration around the ongoing homelessness crisis and made that the centerpiece of his campaign for mayor. And he pursued a policy called Care Not Cash, which felt like, to some, very punitive. I didn't support it at the time. It was basically eliminating the cash grant that homeless folks were receiving. But to Newsom's credit, he did significantly invest in new supportive housing for homeless folks, and they moved thousands of homeless people off the streets. But even that relatively significant investment was not enough to solve a problem that is fundamentally, national in scope.
So catch us up on where things are today in San Francisco regarding homelessness, and what templates you and your colleagues will look towards when you're trying to see what works.
Yeah. Well, I think the perception of most housed San Franciscans is that homelessness is worse than it has ever been before. And it's interesting because objectively the numbers have not increased in San Francisco all that much. The last homeless count, I think, showed something between 7,000 and 8,000 homeless people on the streets. That's sort of within the range of where it's been probably for 5 or 10 years. So there and at the same time, actually regionally, the homeless population has gone up significantly. So in some ways, we're doing better than some of our neighbors in the region. But I think what people are reacting to is that the homeless population we have is older and sicker, more mentally ill folks, and more folks using a lot of really hard drugs, whether it's meth or opioids. There's a growing phenomenon of needles all over and people going downtown and seeing folks shooting up. And I think there is a sense from, again, housed people in particular, that the level of public disorder has grown significantly. And so the challenge for elected officials is then to craft, a response that meets the need of their constituents for public spaces they can use, but is also compassionate and humane and actually addresses the real problems of homeless people. And the responses have been pretty divergent,
Yeah, I can imagine one person who spends $3 million on their slick new home and then has somebody pooping on their front yard or has needles there.
Right.
They have more of a voice in the political process, whether we like it or not, than that mentally ill person.
Right.
But we have to have compassion for both of right. these individuals.
Right. And, you know, even if you don't have a $3 million home, you get pretty annoyed if you walk out your door sure. and there's human poop there, which is, also a growing phenomenon. So what we have right now going on in the city is pretty aggressive sweeps of homeless encampments by the current interim mayor. And that does, seemingly on at least a temporary basis, is directly addressing the concerns that people have been expressing about what's happening in their neighborhoods. I'm unconvinced that over time it's going to be sustainable and that it isn't just going to end up moving these folks around from sort of neighborhood to neighborhood. And that has been the experience of prior sweeps.
Yeah, break down the sweeps. What do they entail and what is a navigation center, for example?
The navigation centers are a response to this growing homeless population on the streets. I mentioned Gavin Newsom's housing policy, which was very focused on creating supportive housing, sort of more permanent housing options for people who are homeless. Newsom actually really did not believe in shelters. In his view, if you had a dollar to spend, you should spend that on permanent housing, not on shelter. And so, and that's a reasonable view. And so during his administration, we reduced the number of shelter beds we had in the city, significantly increased what we were spending on supportive housing, and that largely continued through the Lee administration, which succeeded Newsom. But of course, during that time, the street population is growing. The concerns of housed people are getting more acute about what's happening with the street population, and so the Board of Supervisors really pushed the idea that we needed to have some kind of reinvestment in shelter. And the navigation centers are supposed to be a really easy access point for folks to come out and off the streets. They may not have the same rules as more traditional shelters. You may be able to bring in your girlfriend or your boyfriend, your dog, your stuff. They really are supposed to be an enticement to get folks who might not otherwise engage with the system to get in off the streets, and particularly in areas that are experiencing the growth of these tent encampments, which we've seen over the last several years as well. Relatively new phenomena is not just homeless folks, but homeless folks living in groupings of 10 or 20 or 30 with tents. Interesting that it took until the last few years for this to emerge, but it's taken on kind of a life of its own in San Francisco over that period. And so you have very large encampments. Now, this is, again, a statewide phenomena. Orange County just cleared, I think, a 2 mile long encampment that had hundreds of tents.
I saw a video of it. It was incredible how long it went for. Yeah. And you can understand if you were a homeless single mother, you would want some kind of community. There is a strength in numbers, even Absolutely. In a homeless population, right?
Yeah. I mean, and I spent a lot of time actually talking to homeless people on the street because I'm out campaigning. And of course, homeless people are interested in politics too. And so they come up and engage me in conversations. And their perspectives are very different on some issues from, most housed people. You know, this homeless guy I was speaking to in the last week, was telling me, you politicians think that tents are the problem. Tents are the solution. Tents, give us a place to be where we're not going to get rained on and keep us out of the way and keep us safe. And I hear that. I think it's untenable to have large tent encampments in urbanized areas. I just don't think the housed people are going to tolerate that. One shoe on.
Angels with dirty feet, going To listen to Sea Change Radio anytime, anyplace, just subscribe to our free podcast. Simply follow the link from seachangeradio.com or search for us in the iTunes podcast directory.
This is Alex Wise on Sea Change Radio. I'm speaking to Raphael Mandelman. He's running for the Board of Supervisors in San Francisco. So back to some of the more successful cities in dealing with situations like what San Francisco faces.
So if you look at European social democracies, they don't have anything like the tent cities or the homeless challenges that we have, largely because they invest heavily in housing for middle class and poor folks. They have social housing, just significantly greater investment in subsidizing housing for people who need it, and then also have much more robust healthcare systems. So, I think a big component of this is simply that we do not have enough housing. And some folks focus, particularly Senator Wiener, who represents San Francisco in the state legislature, are very focused on creating more market rate housing. Because we do have an overall shortage. We're in a desirable area. We're an economic powerhouse. Millions of people are moving to California, and we have not built enough housing to house them. And so, of course, that is creating creating the housing crisis. But we also, don't do nearly what other countries do in terms of making sure we're housing the people in the middle and lower end of the spectrum. So I think that's a big piece of it. And then I think as compared to certainly European countries and even other states in the United States, the fact that we did close the mental hospitals and then did not really replace them with anything leaves us with folks who I think 90-95% of us would agree are sick and should not be responsible for taking care of themselves. And yet they are, until they get picked up by the police or taken to SF General.
And we should remember that this is an environmental issue because more people are moving to the cities, and that's actually a good thing in terms of economies of scale and reducing our fossil fuel consumption. But there are lots of hurdles in trying to live in a more concentrated environment.
Absolutely. And you have to be making investments in infrastructure and social welfare to accommodate a denser population. So, we have more people coming, and I think the folks who argue for, building more market rate housing have part of the story right, but we have pretty much the same transit system we did when I was a kid in San Francisco, except we have nearly 200,000 more people trying to use that transit system. And so I think, the biggest environmental issue in San Francisco, or one of them, there's sea level rise, and but I think a huge environmental issue in San Francisco right now is building out a transit infrastructure that can actually move all these folks around, so they don't have to be in single occupancy cars.
I read an article about homelessness in the San Francisco Examiner. It was delving into the homelessness issue and talked about some of the proposals that you have set forth, and one of the comments. It was pretty ugly, but I thought it was indicative of a lot of the disconnect that we have when it comes to this country. It was basically saying, if I had a nice home and everything was fine and I had a feral cat, so he's comparing feral cats to homeless people. So right there, we're kind of in offensive territory. But if I had a feral cat and I put out, a bowl of food and some water for that feral cat, I might feel like I'm doing the right thing. But then the next week, I might have 20 feral cats at my door. Right. So it's basically that whole bootstrapping thing. Like, let's not focus on charity. Let's focus on getting people to pick themselves up. But that person is not connecting the dots in that they probably would be fine throwing those homeless people in jail, which costs a whole lot more than any kind of solution that we're discussing
here,
doesn't it? You talk to a lot of potential constituents as you're running for Board of Supervisors. Give us an insight into the disconnect that you hear, even from a largely liberal city. This is an issue that everybody has an opinion on, and it's very divisive.
Yeah. People are so frustrated. I think they would go for really any solution that was being offered, whether it is punitive or generous. They, you know, I think particularly in this district, I don't think people are that selfish, but I do think that they are frustrated with the homelessness problem. And if it is, you know, a more, if it's a get tough approach or a more compassionate approach, they're fine with either. Just, they just want to see some results. I think your point about trying to look at the actual cost effectiveness of the dollars that you're spending is really a good one. And if you think about what we're doing with our state budget and what we have done, where we have significantly shifted resources away from education and towards prisons over the last 30 years, we're not better off for that. We're spending more money per person. You know, in our state prison system, I think it's like it takes one guard for every two inmates or something. It's a massive amount of money. So the response of someone who wants to get tough approach on crime, you know, may not be thinking through what that actually looks like in terms of public budgets and outcomes. And I think it is important for these conversations to be driven by data and numbers. And I think if you look at the data and the numbers, we would do better by spending more on longer term solutions for people who are sick, rather than using our police to push them around or wake them up in the morning. We spend a lot on having our police basically act as, social workers with homeless folks. But police, of course, are not the best social workers for homeless folks. So I don't know that we can enforce our way with a criminal justice approach out of our homelessness crisis. There's too much underlying... too many underlying social forces related to growing income inequality, a shortage of housing, and inadequate healthcare. And I don't know that we can police our way out of having to experience that, even if we wanted to. And fundamentally, I think San Franciscans are pretty compassionate. And again, they don't want to wake up and come out to poop or needles on their doorstep, but they also, I think, want to know that people who are sick can access care. People who want to come off the streets have a way to get off the streets. I think they're not interested in, you know, hosting a campground for people who are camping their way up and down the West Coast. And, you know, I think that's a fair thing for a community to decide. But, you know, there are lots and lots of homeless people who are not camping on their way to somewhere else. They're from here. They lost their housing here. They may be sick. And we should be trying to help them out.
Ain't no angel gonna greet me. It's just you and I, my friend. And my clothes, they don't fit me anymore. I walked 1,000 miles just to slip the skin. Night has fallen and I'm lying awake. I can feel myself fading away. So receive me, brother, with your faithless kiss. Or will we leave each other alone like this on the streets of Philadelphia? No, no. On the streets of Philadelphia. No, no, no. No, no, no. No, 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 no.
This is Alex Wise on SeaChange Radio. I'm speaking to Raphael Mandelman. He's running for the Board of Supervisors in San Francisco. So we spoke about the European models. That's not going to occur in the next few years here in this country, where we can vastly transform our healthcare system and invest much more heavily in housing. But maybe you can point towards some of the domestic examples. Maybe give us one example of a city that's doing it right in your eyes and a city that's falling short in tackling the homeless crisis.
I think you can look at cities that have taken on particular priorities. Utah wanted to, I believe it was Salt Lake City, that wanted to get all of its veterans off the street and was very successful in doing that. And I think, you know, there have been communities that have been very successful in eliminating pieces of the homelessness homelessness crisis, whether it's family homelessness, veteran homelessness, some aspect of the homelessness problem that they have felt they wanted to try to target. But, you know, New York has a homeless population of 50,000 people and manages it very differently from the way we do. New York has a state constitutional guarantee of a right to shelter, and New York spends a ton of money managing a sort of permanent class of homeless people who are moved from shelter to shelter or who are sometimes being put up in hotel rooms. But they're sheltering everyone. They have a huge homelessness problem. This really is a national problem. I think you're pessimistic about what we can do in San Francisco.
You were saying we have the social democracies in Sweden. In the next 6 years, we're not going to become Stockholm.
We're not going to be Stockholm, but for example, there's a ballot measure people are currently gathering signatures for that would add to the gross receipts tax paid by San Francisco businesses, but would generate $400 million a year, I believe, in additional funds for low-income housing. That would be a very significant investment in building out additional housing in San Francisco for people who are poor, and even some middle-class folks. I think, you know, we are an unprecedentedly wealthy city.
Yeah, it's insane that there's this kind of problem in a city with this wealth, right?
And in some ways, we have some things that we have done that are quite admirable. This investment in supportive housing, where we created roughly, you know, 7,000-8,000 units of supportive housing, where, you know, people who were homeless are currently living, could be pointed to as an example of, you know, how to do it right. It's just we haven't done enough of it. And there's other aspects of the problem, like this sort of mental health crisis that we haven't addressed at all. I am not aware of other communities that eliminated their state mental hospitals as aggressively as California has.
Really?
I think it was a national movement, but I think we kind of led the way. It was not just a Republican thing. It was a Republican and a Democratic thing. And on the conservative side, it was about saving dollars and saving money. And on the more progressive side, it was about getting people out of, you know, overly restrictive institutional environments.
So the liberals who saw one flew over the cuckoo's nest were, we got to
get these people out of there. And so, you know, if you look at the northeastern states, Massachusetts, New York, these are places that have that do invest more in their safety net than we do, and who do more around taking care of people who are mentally ill. And I think some of why, you know, you may see fewer mentally ill folks on their streets is that they're doing a better job of taking care of those folks.
Well, good luck in the upcoming election. It's June 5th. Yeah. Rafael Mandelman, thanks so much for being my guest on Sea Change Radio.
Absolutely. Happy to do it. Thank you.
Sway the future to the past and find what will endure.
You've been listening to Sea Change Radio. Our intro music is by Sanford Lewis, and our outro music is by Alex Wise.
Additional music by Marvin Gaye, Los Lobos, and Ryan Adams.
Check out our website at seachangeradio.com. That's seachangeradio.com to stream or download the show or subscribe to our podcast. Visit our archives there to hear from Bill McKibben, Van Jones, Paul Hawken, and many others. And tune in to Sea Change Radio next week as we continue making connections for sustainability. For Sea Change Radio, I'm Alex Wise.